traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
In the squadron, they called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Some wild things are going to start happening in all these cases against Trump. They're falling apart. I'm looking at the one in the documents case in Florida. Two co-defendants, Trump's co-defendants, Walter Notta and another guy named Azalio, I think. They're both asking the judge to dismiss the charges against them, and there's a real good chance they're going to make it. Documents have come out. It looks like the FBI set up a perjury trap for Notta, who's a longtime aide, personal aide to President Trump. Look, one of the reasons why these cases are going to fall apart, they never really thought them through. They thought if we indict him, it'll make him nominatable, that the Republican Party will jettison this guy. That was the purpose. It wasn't really to put him in jail so much as it was to make him not the Republican nominee. And that has not worked. So they haven't thought this phase out as well as they could have or should have. Could have, because there's really, it's such a weak, these are totally bogus charges. This is going to be a little bit fun to watch. However, I'm unnerved at the same time. I mean, the trial in New York starts Monday. I heard it could take 6 weeks. Is Trump supposed to be there every day for 6 weeks? Does he have to be? I wonder. I don't know. I have a feeling he might have to be. That's a long time off the campaign trail. But then again, cameras have a way of finding Donald Trump, right? He'll get more attention there than he would if he were running a traditional presidential campaign. This whole thing with the case just totally fascinates me. I mean, the O.J. Simpson thing, that conversation we just had. I have to put that aside because there are more meaningful things that are happening right now and terrible things. 3 cops shot in Memphis. And this is, I think, the assistant police chief there informing the public, and I can't believe that one of the suspects had been arrested with a machine gun 3 weeks ago. Go ahead with that, please.
A total of 3 officers were struck by gunfire. Tragically, one of our officers lost his life. That officer is Joseph McKinney. He was assigned to the Rain Station Alpha Shift. The second officer was brought here to Regional 1, but thankfully, he has been upgraded to non-critical condition, and he's doing well. The third officer was treated on the scene and is in stable condition. One suspect was 18 years old, and the other suspect is 17 years old. Both suspects were transported to Regional 1 in critical condition. Both of them sustained gunfire as well. One suspect has been pronounced deceased. The 18-year-old suspect was arrested in March 2024 by MPD in a stolen vehicle with an illegal modified semi-automatic weapon with a Glock switch attached. The Glock switch converted the weapon to a fully automatic machine gun. He was also charged at that time for 2 stolen vehicles and having a programming device commonly used to steal cars. The suspect was released at that time without bond. We have notified the district attorney's office to assist in this.
When was that? In March, otherwise known as last month. Where would these individuals have gotten the idea that it was okay to shoot cops? Well, for the past, during their formative years, let's see, 16 years old, that means he was 12 during Black Lives Matter summer. He may have picked up what the mainstream media was putting down, that the cops are systemically racist and it's a slave patrol, that the police are a vestige of this, of the slavery era. Yeah. You know, they talk about Trump's rhetoric. How about that rhetoric? I can't believe this. Everybody, I feel like there's something that we should be doing to help Israel right now. We're just waiting for Iran to attack Israel. Everybody seems to know it. Got Marco Rubio tweeting about it. I don't see any more aircraft carriers move to the region or anything like that. Do you? We're just going to sit by and watch this happen to our precious ally? That's not right. Then again, nothing is right right now. And something really bad could happen here. Christopher Wray, the FBI director, the cagey, shifty, weirdo FBI director yesterday, cut 16. 1-6.
So we need funding to protect America from terrorism. I touched on this earlier, but there was already a heightened risk of violence in the United States before October 7th. Since then, we've seen a rogues gallery of foreign terrorist organizations call for attacks against Americans and our allies. And given those calls for action, our most immediate concern has been that individuals or small groups will draw some kind of twisted inspiration from the events in the Middle East to carry out attacks here at home.
And here I thought white supremacy was what we had to worry about. Now he's finally talking about the real threat. Christopher Wray is the epitome of swamp. And I want to do this again. I mean, this is a guy, this is the way they dodge responsibility. He is a political appointee, so he is kind of responsible to the people. And how do we do this? Through congressional oversight. And Elise Stefanik was elected by the people of upstate New York to be a representative. So he has to answer her questions. And he does everything he can to not answer her questions. Listen to this. Cut 17.
Ms. Stefanik.
Director Wray, have you read Robert Hur's special counsel report?
I have reviewed it.
Do you believe Joe Biden mishandled
right there.
Classified?
Have you read it? He says, I've reviewed it. This gives him an out that he's going to take. Like he's not responsible for the whole thing. And she's going to ask some pretty basic questions about it, and he won't answer. Why not? This is the way they dodge responsibility. I don't know. It's just caginess. Like, wouldn't you want to answer? He looks like he's not in charge, and in some ways he's not. It's the system that's actually in charge. Cut 18, please. Cut 18.
I'm not going to discuss the report. That's the special counsel's report, and I've referred it.
In your opinion as director of the FBI, do you believe he mishandled classified information?
Again, I'm just going to refer to the report, and the special counsel can speak for himself on his report.
Are you aware, and this is breaking news right now, are you aware that there's an audio recording of Joe Biden saying to his ghostwriter in February of 2016, quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. Are you aware of that audio recording?
Again, I would just respectfully refer you to the special counsel.
No, I'm asking you, are you aware as director of the FBI? You're either aware or you're not.
I'm aware. Am I aware of what now?
Am I aware of what now? Huh? Who? What? Me? Huh? What? That's how they do it. That's how they do it. He doesn't want to answer anything. And by the way, you could say, are you aware of it? It's in that damn report you reviewed. And you're still not going to be, this is the level of game playing that, I mean, this is out of what? Kafka, I think. Kafka-esque. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I know it applies. Kafka-esque. 19.
The audio exists of Joe Biden saying in February 2017, quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote, to his ghostwriter.
Again, I'm just going to refer to the special counsel and his testimony and his report.
It sounds like you might be aware of it then.
This is not democratic. He has to answer these questions. He promised that he would, by the way, when he got the job, when he was sucking up, when he needed their approval for confirmation. Cut 20.
Is there any counterintelligence investigation into either Joe Biden or Donald Trump?
Big pause.
I would just say I'll refer you to the special counsel has...
It's not a question about the special counsel. Right. That's a requirement in the IAA of the FBI. Is there a counterintelligence investigation into either Joe Biden or Donald Trump?
There's no investigation that I could confirm here, no.
Is there a counterintelligence investigation?
Again, I'm not confirming any investigation into either candidate.
Are you aware that you're required by the IAA to notify Congress of any counterintelligence investigation?
And we will comply with the law.
Have you already complied with the law? Has there been a notification?
I believe we have been in compliance with the law.
I believe we've been in compliance with the law. All right, this to me is a major signal that they are investigating Donald Trump. And by investigating, I mean trying to trap him, trying to smear him, spying on him, just like they did in 2016, probably 2020. We know they meddled in the 2020 election. I got an FBI agent. He actually said it out on TV. Elvis Chan is his name. And they were actively protecting Joe Biden from that laptop, prepping all the big tech companies. Oh, this is Russia disinformation. What do you care? Stay the hell out of it. Cut 20. What am I up to? 21 now? 21.
You are aware that according to the IAA, you are required by law to notify Congress of any counterintelligence investigation, not just for presidential candidates, but any federal candidate.
We will comply with the law.
So you will answer this in the classified hearing later today?
We will comply with the law.
And what's your understanding of the law?
There's a whole series of oversight requirements that we have related to counterintelligence matters. I'm not going to try to go through all of them.
But specifically the notification of Congress of a counterintel investigation onto a federal candidate. What is your understanding of the law?
Again, I would want to refer to the lawyers to make sure that I'm appropriately complying with it, but I can tell you we're going to comply with the law, and my understanding is we have been.
Is your assessment that you're required to notify Congress of any counterintel investigation into any federal candidate?
I'm going to defer to the lawyers as to the precision of that.
You're the director of the FBI. They report to you. What is your understanding of the requirement in the IAA?
We're going to comply with the law, including whatever's in the IAA.
You see, they bend over backwards, and they manipulate the law, and they use it as cover. And they point to the lawyers. Well, they'll have to break down this IAA thing. Hey, Christopher Wray himself is a lawyer. He's a former prosecutor. That is just really fascinating to listen to. And what is your understanding of the law? He won't give a straight answer? What the hell are they up to? The same thing that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and the rest of them were up to. Crossfire Hurricane. 22.
Were you or your staff, did you have any communication about either the execution of the search warrant on Mar-a-Lago or the search of documents working with Joe Biden's lawyer? Was there any communication with Joe Biden? Of you or your team?
Not to my knowledge.
With any White House staff?
By me or my team?
By you or any personnel at the FBI.
Again, I want to make sure I've got your question right. By me or my staff, with who about which?
You see? About who, about which, now what, now who, what? I guess this is not perjury, but it's damn deceptive, isn't it? Really bad, really bad. I think there's another one. Give me the other one.
I'm asking if you communicated.
Whether I communicated?
With the Attorney General, prior or after the execution of the search warrant on Mar-a-Lago.
No.
Do you think it is a national...
Prior or after?
Prior or after.
Before or after? Oh, you mean before or after? There's that whole adage in government, by the way. If you tell the truth carefully enough, you never actually technically have to lie, but you can deceive. You can deceive. And this is all about deception. The FBI must be dismantled. Forget it. It's over. You guys suck. There are about 10 agents I like. Sorry. And for you innocent agents, the one who really want to do a good job, you that performance right there, that agency must go away, has to be overhauled. We need federal investigators. Farm them out to all the U.S. attorneys. But this, obviously, this is a total disgrace. Christopher Wray. Oh, and he loves to fly around the country in the FBI jet. to go on vacation. And then when he gets back, he's that deceptive. And you think you can fool us? You think you can fool the American people with that? Wrong. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
If you're suffering from ED, you're not alone. 60% of men over 60 have this problem. Help is out there. The professionals at Elevate Wellness can help you be the man you used to be. They've helped thousands of patients and have a 96% success rate. What are you waiting for? Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Your first visit is only $99. ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Help is out there. ElevateWellnessGroup.com.
Your health is important. Your sexual health is very important. And like everything else, it has challenges. As many as 50% of men over 50 have sexual-related difficulties, like ED, low testosterone, and low energy. That's where they come in. Elevate Wellness has real professional and in-person solutions. Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Or visit ElevateWellnessGroup.com and get back to where it started. Office visits only $99 this month.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
Stop. ED is no laughing matter. This can be caused from low T, high blood pressure, or diabetes. Elevate Wellness can help. 40% of men over 40 have experienced this. Make the call to Elevate Wellness now. 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. The office visit is only $99 and includes exam, blood work, test dose, and consultation. Call Elevate Wellness. 973-354-2276. Or Elevate Wellness Group.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
One of the greatest, most beautiful traditions in broadcasting is to punk TV and radio stations with a Baba Booey. In honor of Howard Stern and Gary Delabate, I absolutely love it. I love it. You know, I'm one of the only people I think in the world, I think I might be the only person who ever Baba Booey'd Baba Booey. He was on the Good Day Show once, and Rosanna was interviewing him. I was supposed to interview him, too. I hid behind the couch, and in the middle of the interview, I came out with, like, a hockey mask on, and Baba Booey! I totally freaked him out. It was a great moment. Baba Booey. Well, let's see here. O.J. Simpson. There's an. This is all the way from... Wait, where is this? Ah, yeah, Peter Jennings. Peter Jennings got Baba Booey'd. Go ahead with this. Cut six. This is, what year is this? 1994, I guess. Cut six.
Just going to ask everybody to be quiet for a moment. We have on the phone with us as well Robert Higgins, who lives in the neighborhood and is on the ground and can see inside the van. Mr. Higgins.
How are you?
Just about as tense as you are, sir.
Oh, my Lord, this is quite tense.
What can you see?
Well, what I'm looking at right now is I'm looking at the van, and I see O.J. kind of slouching down, looking very, very upset. Now, looking here, he looked very upset. I don't know what he's going to be doing.
Can you see him doing anything specific? Is he merely sitting there?
I see O.J., man, and he looks scared. And I would be scared because there's cops all deep in this.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
And Baba Booey to y'all.
Nailed it! Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Good stuff. Good stuff. Baba Booey! Baba Booey! Baba Booey! Baba Booey! I want to talk about Lawrence Jones for a moment on the Fox News Channel. That guy is actually now the star of Fox and Friends. At first, I didn't see it, but he's very, very good. And he interviewed that woman who hugged Trump. And that beautiful moment in Atlanta, we won't be able to finish it, but just let's warm up with it. Cut 13.
An unforgettable moment on the campaign trail for one voter who got a big hug from Trump at an Atlanta Chick-fil-A while he met with supporters. Watch.
I don't care what the the media tells you, Mr. Trump, we support you. We support you. Okay, 4 p.m. We've been 4 p.m.
Come here, let me give you a hug.
Please do.
Look at the joy. Here to tell us about it is that young woman herself, Michaela Montgomery. She's also the founder of a grassroots political group to conserve the culture. Michaela, I've been waiting for this interview all morning.
All right, all right. Well, we're going to have to... We'll pick it up on the other side. But Lawrence Jones, he really gets it. And he gets Trump. And he has great energy. And I love the guy. What can I say? We'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hello, are we Rita Cosby, the legendary journalist and host of Katz and Cosby, and also the great show at 10 o'clock to midnight right here on 77 WABC. Nobody knows the news like she does, and she was all over the O.J. Simpson case. Rita, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm laughing because I just saw a headline that is the LA Times. Did you see this? In the they said that when he got out of prison, blank, 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 Donald Trump served time for 9 years. They made a mistake. They put it was supposed to be O.J. Simpson, and they put Trump in there. That's that's what the LA Times thinks, Greg.
They're getting ahead of themselves. They're so fixated, fascinated. They want Trump in jail, and they want just amazing. Yeah, they blew that one big time. So, anyway, he's dead now. What do you think? What are your thoughts now that O.J.'s gone?
You know what? I mean, obviously, this was a guy who went from hero to zero, you know, and you think about it, he was on top of the world, Greg. I mean, all of, you think of the commercials with the Hertz ads and all those things. And then he goes from obviously being one of the most reviled Americans ever. And I wasn't surprised of just the passion that Americans have even now in his passing. Obviously, you know, you hate for anybody to pass away, but my goodness, there are some people who are, you know, treating him like he was like the second coming in terms of, that little thing that he did. I even had callers last night. I had a few callers who were making excuses for him left and right. And yes, he did get acquitted by the jury, but the facts were very strong in that case. And Greg, too, it's interesting for me because I spoke to OJ a number of times. And I'll never forget, I was at Fox News. You and I were together at Fox News for many years, my friend. And here I was at Fox News. You know me. I've always been an intrepid reporter. And I get a source of mine who I knew OJ. And I called him. It was pretty soon after he had been acquitted on the criminal case. And I said, I would love to speak to OJ. Everybody in the country, you know, wanted to try to get a hold of him and get a scoop. And he said, you want to talk to OJ? And he goes, hold on 1 second. And he goes, OJ, this is Rita Cosby. And he goes, oh, I like Rita Cosby. I know who she is. And he puts OJ on the phone with me. And it was one of those surreal moments where I'm sitting there talking to OJ. And of course, I'm asking him all these questions. He was dancing around a lot of the answers. But we had an interesting discussion, and then we talked a couple times on the phone, and he wanted to talk about his golf game and what he had for lunch, and every time I tried to ask him a tough question, he said, Rita, you're a really good reporter. You ask hard questions. I know who you are. I know what you do. I know your background. But it was an interesting discussion, and we had a couple of them over the years.
Let me ask you something. Do you think it's possible, and I'm guessing you don't, but I've been talking to this guy, William D. Have you ever heard of him?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's something that's always bothered me about this case. The blood in the Bronco, not nearly enough blood. If he actually killed two people and in the manor and all that blood all over the place, there should have been more blood in the car. And also, given especially Ron Goldman's wounds, he was clearly fighting whoever was killing him. OJ would have far more scratches, scars. He would have had stuff all over his body instead of just one cut on his finger. What do you think of that?
Well, and I've heard that, too. There were also a lot of sounds going back to OJ's house, remember, after it happened. So you could make the case suggest, obviously, that he could clean himself up. But you're right. It does look like, though, whoever attacked Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson, clearly it was a surprise. It was dark at that time to remember. And you're right. It was a very bloody scene. And that was one of the cases that clearly the defense, Johnny Cochran, I think of some of the lines that Johnny Cochran did during the trial, pointing some of those things. And remember the whole Mark Furman stuff, too, Greg, where, you know, he went after his history and made him sound like he was a racist and that everything was planted, everything was this, everything was that. What I go back to, Greg, is also not just what happened the day of the crime, but also the behavior afterwards. And I've interviewed a lot of people, a lot of interesting characters through the years. You know that through my career. You and I have been friends and known each other a long time. And I think about the behavior of people afterwards. Here was O.J. Simpson right afterwards. He's in the famous white Bronco going down the L.A. freeway, calling, you know, people at that point, many friends, many other people. But he's not staying and saying, hey, where is what happened to my wife? He also always claimed that he was looking for the real killer. He even said that to me on the phone. He's looking for the real killer. So my question was, well, what are you doing on the golf course?
Well, let me ask you this, you know? Because this William Deere investigator believes that Jason Simpson is the killer, the son of OJ with his first wife. And that would be the reason why he wouldn't be looking for the real killer. And I look, it's just this guy. And I have to say, you know, nothing is, he's never been accused formally of anything. He's never been arrested. But I mean, it is interesting. According to Mr. Deere, he had, you know, certain psychiatric issues. He also apparently, according to Mr. Deere, attacked a restaurant colleague with a knife just a few months prior to the murder. And he goes on and on. It looks like, I don't know. It's kind of giving me a new take on things.
Well, and I'll tell you, there are a number of people who I've heard that, and again, it is just a rumor at this point. We don't know, but I've heard that. I've heard also other people tied to OJ that maybe OJ also, quote, wasn't alone at the time, to your point, that if he did it. And by the way, a lot of people close to him do believe he did it. I think a lot of Americans clearly believe he did it. But your point is, it does seem there are a lot of holes in the case. And the prosecution, on the flip side, did a very, very poor job. And it's interesting because it looks like, obviously, it was very violent crime. Clearly, it was very bloody, very forceful. And you're right, it does look like there were a lot of defensive wounds, especially on Ron Goldman. And you would imagine there are a lot of people who believe that maybe OJ was there, but there was someone else with him. And I've heard a series of different names through the years. I haven't heard a definitive. I've heard the name that you've heard. I've heard a number of others. Again, it's interesting that nobody else sort of uncovered another individual, if they acted solely or with OJ. But, I mean, you know, his behavior again, afterwards, he seemed gleeful. He seemed happy. He seemed this. See, obviously, if it's a family member or somebody else that may have played a role, I've also heard rumors that the kids overheard OJ talking about this, too. I've heard stories like that, which actually implicates OJ. So I've heard the kids wrapped up in a series of different ways where actually it doesn't help OJ.
Yeah.
So there's more to the story because the kids haven't really talked. And it would be interesting to hear from, there's a daughter, too, as well, that I had overheard years ago, may have some information more than she has told. Again, just a report, but interesting.
One thing, as we say goodbye, you know, I was reading a book the other night by a fake news reporter who I don't like. His name is Jonathan Carl, but he's a big-time mainstream media guy. And he actually referred to you, and this is about Trump, but that you received a letter from Timothy McVeigh just a short time before he was executed. That's totally fascinating. You were all over that case as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know Jonathan talked about that.
You know,
that.
It's interesting. You know, it's wild. You can be in a book these days and it can be a bestseller and it gives you an idea how many people are reading books. You know
what I mean? Like, isn't that funny?
It's so wild. But yeah, no. So tell us a little bit about Timothy McVeigh. By the way, for everybody to know, you may have forgotten, he was the Oklahoma City bomber.
Yeah. And obviously a horrible, heinous crime. that he did in Oklahoma City. I was supposed to get a big exclusive interview with Timothy McVeigh. And again, like OJ, you know, we talked to the good, the bad, and ugly, interesting people through the years. And then at the time, General Ashcroft, Attorney General Ashcroft, remember John Ashcroft was the AG at that time, and he stepped in and said, Timothy McVeigh is not doing any interviews. We don't want anybody to have access to him. And I thought, God, how can I get around this? Because he had granted for me to have a meeting with him and to do this big broadcast interview. Again, I was at Fox News at the time. And I thought, how can I get around it? And I sent a letter to Timothy McVeigh with 60 questions. And I said, why did you do this? Remember, he admitted he did it. He had, you know, he was trying to say that it was because of U.S. policy overseas. And, you know, he fully was taking responsibility. I always believed there were more to the story than Timothy McVeigh. Not that he didn't do it, but I always believed there were other people, many more, a couple others who helped him, or at least yeah. were aware of it, as we're talking about OJ. But so I sent him the letter, and this was wild, Greg. I come back, and I'm at the office at Fox, and I'm going through my mail. And I'm just kind of ripped. I thought it was like a magazine or newspaper. I open it up, and it's a letter, a handwritten letter from Timothy McVeigh explaining why he carried out the Oklahoma City bombing. Now it is a museum.
Man. Well, wow.
And it was chilling. I'm looking at it, and it's like, here's why I you know, attacked this building. I knew the kids were in part of the building. They were collateral damage. Here's why I did this. Here's why I did that. He just picked a few of the questions. I think he answered 6 of the 60, but it is in his handwriting, and it is now sort of a historical document. And boy, was it chilling to get inside the mind of that guy. By the way, I also covered his execution, so that was an interesting thing that happened at Terre Haute, Indiana. Years later,
you saw it. You went, and you witnessed it.
I did not witness it. I carried it, covered it from the outside. By the way, I did witness Tukey Williams' execution firsthand. I was in the chamber for that. I was in the execution area, and that was chilling. He was the former leader of the Crips, if you remember, in L.A. in its heyday, and he was up there on murder, and that was in San Quentin, and I was the sort of the lead witness for that execution. It was a lethal injection case.
It's amazing. Rita Cosby, you have seen it all. It just amazing work over the years, and continues here at WABC, 5 o'clock with the boss, John Katsimatidis, and then later at 10 to midnight. Rita, we thank you so much. It's great to talk.
Oh, it's great to be on. And by the way, I'm going to be on at 4 o'clock today. I'm filling in for Bo Snerdly, so I'll be on today at 4 o'clock as well. But I love, and by the way, I just want to tell everybody, Greg Kelly, you're the best. I adore you. And great to have you on, and great to always be on with you, my friend. I adore you.
Thank you, Rita, so much. To be continued, we'll be right back.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, a lot of response to the William Deere interview. A lot of people reevaluating their position and their thoughts on the OJ case. Other people kind of annoyed, saying, no way, OJ did it. Somebody sent me an article, Bill Deere is full of it and I can prove it. The Village Voice story from about 15 years ago. I don't know. I found it pretty compelling what he had to say. I'll take a look at that. Joe, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm on the fence. I think anybody with half a brain would think, why would this guy do this? He's divorced from her and everything, and he's living his life. She's living hers. He's got a lot of money. But then you think, you know, sometimes just something snaps or whatever, because they said she was afraid of him, but it is compelling. And as far as those teenagers that are killing and shooting police pushing older people down the stairs, there was a line in The Godfather when they wanted to kill young Vito, because the guy who killed his father, and the mother said, he's a baby. He looked at him and said, he's going to grow. So when you catch these kids at 10 years old, 12 years old, people should have their eye on. There should be a task force to watch these little animals in every major city. You get.
Wait. I'm sorry. Wait, what animals? Huh? What? All right,
the little
Joe,
animals that get caught shooting guns and robbing people at 14 should be watched. They shouldn't be left to just, you know, they shouldn't be out at all. But if they're out, they should be they should be watched. They should be supervised. Well, they should have to check in if they're, you know, like parole or something.
You mean, what? I mean, yeah, once they do a crime, you want punishment. Not before they do the crime, right?
Yes.
All right, Joe, thank you, thank you, thank you. Ernie?
Hey, how you doing, Greg? I wanted to make a point. Two points. I'm going to tie in the O.J. Simpson thing. I propose, what do you think, if we remove, if you're going to have sports in colleges and universities, the revenue that they generate from TV deals and endorsements from food products and such, how about using that money to pay every student's tuition, if you're going to keep sports in schools? And if not,
Hey, look, I'm open to any idea because right now tuition is totally ludicrous. You can't tell me, you know, a guy standing in front of a classroom, desks and chairs, that somebody should be paying $60,000 a year for that. This is an outright, total and complete scam, and it's got to stop. It's got to stop. There's no way. It's just ludicrous. There's a fraud. That's a class action lawsuit waiting to happen. Ernie, I think you got something there. All right, Sandra, what's the big news? Yes.
You put a fire. What?
What's the big news?
What was that? Well, let me lead into it. So I want to thank you because you do put a fire under me. And after you said that we should all try to get to our goal independently, I reached out to Jack Cittarelli, and I asked him if he would like something like a meet and greet at the Women's National Republican Club. He was so happy about that. So we're going to do that, and I'm hoping that you'll come.
No.
And Barbara will.
No, I can't be there. Sandra, I'm talking about something a lot bigger than that, all right? Sounds like, let me guess when this is. It's like in 2 months, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's not even on the calendar yet.
That's right.
All right. All right. Sandra, I was talking about taking social media by storm every single day. And you're going to have a, you know, this guy's going to, this is what they do. They drop by these clubs and these clubs. It's nice. But, you know, you already do that. You're not exactly leaving your comfort zone, if you know what I mean.
Well, could I finish talking?
You got to get to that. I mean, that Jack Cittarelli is coming to the Women's Republican Club. It would have been news if he didn't go to the Women's Republican Club. You know what I mean? All right, that would have been like, what the hell is he not going there? Of course he's going to go there. But I'm talking about doing more and stuff you haven't done before. So tell me about the stuff that you are going to do that you haven't done before.
Well, you're not letting me talk.
No. This is my show. All right, Sandra. All right. So, all right. You just told me about, you said you had hot news and we went through the Jack Cittarelli thing. Not a big deal. So let me know what the big deal is. And please don't say, let me talk when I let you talk. All right. So please.
So when I was swimming this morning, I said to myself, how do I make this part of, in other words, what
well, wait a second. This was this morning, but you said you had big news yesterday.
The big news is that we're going to have a meet and greet with Jack Cittarelli.
Oh my gosh, that's not big news. That is not big news. That's not big news. No, Sandra, I'm in the news business or a little bit, right? I mean, that's not big news. Now, you want to turn that state red, all right? You want to turn New Jersey red. No. You do it. Don't tell me what you're going to do, all right? I want to see you do it. I want to see you do it. I want to see those social media videos from you and Maria, and I want less talking and less calling into the radio and telling me what you intend to do and do it. Win New Jersey. And, Sandra, I wouldn't say this to you. I wouldn't talk to you like this if I did not think that you personally, along with Maria, could win New Jersey, could turn New Jersey red for Donald Trump. That kind of power must be you must not shirk from this opportunity. You have to use it. God has given you this power. You must use it. I'm serious. It's important. No more coffees with Jack Cittarelli. That's going to be fine. Whatever. Doesn't make a difference. Do it. Win New Jersey. Barbara, welcome back. How are you?
Greg, great. I had an experience.
Was I too tough on Sandra? I feel like, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. Jack Cittarelli coming by that Republican club, you know, someday is just not going to do it. You know what I mean? I need more action. We need more action.
I understand what you mean, and I'm sure Sandra does too. And I love to hear the two of you exchange ideas because we all learn from that. So that back and forth is wonderful. I had a little experience with social media myself about, 10 years ago when we were doing healthcare reform. I was talking to my daughter about it, and she said, Mom, wait, let me film this and put it on YouTube. And I said, what? So I sat at my kitchen table and did a 6-minute talk about Obamacare, and it's titled Healthcare Reform Explained with Condiments, because I took my salt shaker, my pepper shaker, my sugar bowl, and I explained the whole thing. Well, here it's up all this time. I never pushed it. 9,800 views. People found it, and they're still finding it because it's still true. But just a simple thing, no notes, no preparation, just speak. And I know Sandra can do that. I know Marie can do that. You know, I need to do some of that, too. So I think that's very, very well possible. The thing that really got me upset today, though, is this Iranian threat, because I believe that this all has to do with stopping Trump. I believe it has to do with creating as much chaos in the world as possible. Iran can attack Israel. They can't attack us directly, but by attacking Israel, they will create tension, they will create stress, they will create more chaos in this country, and we have a lot of chaos going on right now, thanks to Cloward and Piven, learning all the way back from the communists in this country.
Those guys, you were the one who put them on the map for me. Barbara, you're right. That's what Iran is up to. Pray for Israel, and pray for Trump, too.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.